Lord Jesus, first of all, we give everything we do and say to you. It's our heart to honor you. It's our heart to honor your values, your heart. We want to reflect and radiate who you are. We give you this podcast, and may it be a blessing to everyone who listens. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
It's Wednesday, September 10th, 2025. We get to do this. This is episode number 2.
Get to do this.
You know, the only thing that's hard about the starting off with the prayer is I always like to fold my hands and I can't hit the button.
You got to be ready.
I'm not ready for it.
Got to be ready to roll, ready to hit.
Hey,
hit
brother,
the donut.
How you doing?
I am doing great. Good to see you. Welcome back from the great city of
Big Smoke.
Formerly great city of Austin.
Big Smoke of Austin. Tina and I stayed overnight there last night with some friends who we've known, at least 6 years, probably. And she actually works for Sloan Kettering. She's a consultant, so she knows a lot about the pharmaceutical industry.
Interesting.
Yes.
Boots on the ground.
Had some boots on the ground from her. He used to work in the entertainment industry. He was the chief financial officer and later the co-president of Marvel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Until they went all DEI and kicked everybody. I think he actually has a lawsuit running against
him. Did you say vice president?
He was, co-president.
Co-president.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, we call that in West Texas, tall cotton. He's in tall cotton.
There's a show title for you right there, tall cotton.
You better jot that down.
I like it a lot.
Jot it down, just in case.
So what do you think they were talking about in Austin? What is the big topic of the day?
Wow, there is so much happening in this last new, fresh recession, reboot. There's a lot going on right now.
It's the new logo.
Oh, I saw that. Is it Canva or is it not?
I think the joke is...
It's hilarious.
It was $1.2 million to develop this by someone who couldn't afford to pay for premium Canva.
Exactly.
And it looks like a tent, which of course is kind of ironic.
You know,
for
I'm
Austin.
A Canva kind of guy.
I know. You're good at Canva.
Well, it's because I can't do anything else. It's the only thing I know how to do.
And I'm with you on that.
I enjoy it. It is good. It's good for guys like me, but for high-level professional, I could have done that for $100.
Gladly. And what's interesting is, you know, that's everyone's all in a tussle about this. I'm like, yeah, it's ridiculous. But is that really the number one problem you have in Austin?
I know,
but that's
what
everybody focuses on. And,
I know.
Yeah, and I look at the logo. I'm like, yeah, you know, it's okay. I mean, you've selected logos in the past, and sometimes it's hard to break someone's creative heart and just say, hey, man, this thing is just no good. It's just not what I'm looking for.
I heard a handful of people one time because they took a whole department to develop a logo, and it was not good. I keep telling you, I'm going to show that to you. I got to show it to you.
Oh,
I'm not going to go into details.
Yeah,
I don't want to protect the guilty. So, you know, but anyway, you know, Austin's an interesting thing. I mean, you pull up anything Austin on, whether it's Instagram or anything social media, you get the robot running around falling down. You know, there's this robot they have. And these guys are following him around, you know, it's Orion or something like that. Or Orus. I can't remember which one it is. But anyway, he keeps bumping into stuff and he keeps glitching.
Yeah. Austin.
It's talking to somebody and it knocks this lady off the curb. I mean, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Austin's insane.
And all the Waymo cars driving around. I mean, there are just, must be 100 of them that are driving
another
around.
Another clip. There's a video of these. Honestly, it's homeless guys that are running out in front of the car, making it stop, and they're dancing in front of it. Just to mess with it because it can't do anything.
Yeah, people will put traffic cones on the hood, and the minute you do that, it just completely it's disabled. It can't do anything. But because we lived in Austin for quite a while, and it just doesn't. You know what? Tina nailed it. She says it feels like we're further away from God.
Wow.
Yeah. Really feels. And these people are believers. You know, they go to a church in Austin.
Mm-hmm. And there's some good churches in Austin.
For sure. I mean, there's some really good ones. But it just feels like that.
Yeah, I get it.
You just get that, that feel. Yeah, so, of course, I missed the men's breakfast Saturday because we were gone. How was that?
What a morning. Pastor Brian brought a message. Of course, he's hardcore. I mean, he's like all up in men's grills. You got to man up, be strong, be a man. I mean,
He's
beautiful. So good. But it was great. Such a great. It's amazing when men come together.
Yeah.
Under the banner of Jesus Christ. You know, you can come together under a lot of things. You come for a gun show or a hot rod show or, a horse show, you know,
trucks, men's monster
stuff,
trucks,
you know, that kind of stuff. But when they come together under the banner of Christ, I was looking around the room, I was sitting in the back and I'm just observing and I'm seeing, you know, a Texas Ranger over here. I'm seeing a police officer over here, a firefighter over here. I mean, these are men. Mm. These are men that do men stuff. Yeah. Like, save lives, rescue people, arrest bad guys, you know, put bad guys away. And I'm looking at them and they're standing there raising their hands in worship.
I love
worshiping
that.
Jesus. But they may be sitting by somebody who does none of those things. And yet there's this camaraderie, there's this fellowship, this brotherhood around Christ.
Also a vulnerability, because I've of course been almost every single men's breakfast. And there's a vulnerability and guys just, they're able to open up to each other about just stuff that we might not even tell our wives, you know, and you don't even think about it. Honestly, you just like, hey man, this is how I feel about stuff sometimes. And the conversations that are sparked
it's safe.
It's very, yes, indeed.
That's part of our goal is to create safety, a sense where guys can just kind of go, you know what, man, I've had a bad week. This week sucked. This sucks to be me right now.
Yeah.
And to create that atmosphere where guys feel safe and can just be open and vulnerable is amazing. And to do that in front of their sons.
Yes.
Because we've got kids there too, which is really interesting dynamic. But I was watching some of these young kids. You know, they're kind of clueless. I mean, at that age, I was clueless. We all were.
Jimmy, we're still clueless.
Okay, I have not graduated above 12, basically. But I'm watching these kids. I'm going, they don't even know what they're getting right now. Maybe someday it'll begin to. It's like seeds dropping into soil.
Yeah.
And someday that'll bring forth a harvest, right? Down the road. But I was watching a guy. He's a first responder. He's holding his son in his arms, just holding him. And I'm watching it, just going, this is amazing. And I'm watching another guy who was a former Major League Baseball player, played in the major leagues for 15 years. He's a giant, you know, Jonathan. He's a big guy, and he's holding his son in his arms while Pastor Brian's just ripping, you know. And I'm just like, this is what it means. This is what it means to pass the baton to the next generation, to bring these young people into this environment. Even if they don't get it now, they're getting some. Their spirit's getting it, even if their heart and head's not yet.
Yeah.
And to be exposed to that. I mean, things that I were exposed to as a young man, going to the firehouse with my dad. He was a firefighter and first responder. And getting to just hang out around guys that I looked up to as heroes. You know, these are firefighters. And I'm the kid, and I'm spending the night there on a Saturday night with my dad in the bunkhouse, but I'm doing everything they're doing. I'm cleaning things. I'm washing dishes. I'm helping prep for food. I'm playing ping pong. By the way, I became a killer ping pong player hanging out at the firehouse.
Hey,
for real.
I need to play you because I'm not bad at ping pong.
Okay,
or as we say in the old country, table tennis. Table tennis, my friend.
We just call it ping pong. But at Texas Tech, I was like one of the top players during my time.
No, you're scaring me.
I was beating the Chinese guys. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
So the other thing is that even when men are together in a group, it's more like a hey, boss, how you doing, man? You know, it's a kind of you macho up just kind of by yourself. But in this setting,
no,
it's just you just let it all kind of be there.
I'm not going to lie, though. I like pulling into our parking lot. It starts at 8:30. I pull in at 8:20, and there are almost every vehicle's a pickup
truck,
F-250 with lift kits. I'm going, now this is testosterone,
right,
man. This is
for real. That's right.
But I love that because these guys, we're in Texas, right? So we don't call 911 here. I'm just saying our guys are, they're the real deal. But when you get them all together in a room and Russ Hearn gets up there, our worship leader, and starts leading worship, these guys are just like before God, open. It is beautiful. The whole morning was amazing.
Cool.
I leave just lifted.
Yeah. I'm bummed I missed it, honestly. It's like, we already had this longstanding arrangement.
It's so good for us. So you were in Austin for a day.
Yeah.
An evening.
Yes.
Yeah. Hanging out with friends.
We had sushi. This was real sushi. But it feels like New York, man. Everyone is, it's busy, it's loud, it's noisy.
It's edgy.
Yeah, it's a bit, everyone looks like an influencer.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I'm 61 now.
No.
So I'm in my 60s.
We're seeing things differently.
I'm seeing things very differently. I am. It's... Something happened with this birthday.
Interesting you mentioned that, because I was just listening to a Will Regan song that's on the Godcaster, and it's about hurry, and it's about not hurrying. I'm not in a hurry.
Of course, yes.
I'd never listened to the words of that. I didn't even know. It feels like a song out of time, like it's another from another generation.
It almost, isn't that, it has a little bit of an R&B kind of vibe to it.
Yeah. But that dude, he was a worship leader up in Colorado Springs. I mean, he wrote some big songs in the worship industry, but he's kind of stepped back from all of that.
Yeah.
And that song, I was just listening to it coming in while major downpour here in Fredericksburg right now. But as I'm coming in, I'm listening to that song. It's interesting. I don't know about you, but I get things in multiples. Like, I'll hear somebody talking about being quiet. I'll hear somebody, I read this morning, Victor Marx talking about silence.
Oh, these are messages. When you get it in multiples.
I'm getting these multiples. I've gotten like four just in the last couple of days. And then I was listening to Will Regan coming in, pouring down rain. I mean, I'm like hydroplaning most of the way in, right? And I turn up my radio really loud just to overcome the downpour on the car. And he's singing, I'm not in a hurry. And okay, God, I'm starting to get this.
Yeah.
Slow down.
Slow down. Take your time. It's going to be okay. Yeah. Convergence is now what, first of all, wasn't that your word of the year?
It Convergence? Is my word of this year.
And was it Tim Barton? No, it was from the
Lance Wallnau.
Lance Wallnau. He was talking about convergence, which I used to call, synchronicity.
That's a good word. Yeah. I remember from, the guy from the Police.
Sting.
Yeah, Sting. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Great song. Yeah. Great song,
so
by the way.
Synchronicity. And now I know, it's like I see this all the time. Like the same scripture will pop up in two different devotionals on the same day. Or, you know, it happens a lot. And I pay
from different places.
Yeah. And I pay attention to that.
I do
That's
too.
When God is telling me, pay attention. I got some God tap.
So I learned a new word today, a God flick. You remember when you were a kid and you'd flick somebody's ear? Another kid's ear?
I still do that to my daughter from time to time.
Ooh, ouch. That hurts.
Be quiet, you.
A God flick. Wow. Like somebody said it to me today. He said, I got a God flick. I'm like, I looked at him. He goes, you know how you used to flick each other? I'll go, okay, when we were kids, I remember now.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's a God flick. So all of a sudden you go, wait a minute. God's trying to get something to me.
Yes.
Through these different channels. Yeah. Anyway, mine slow down, apparently.
Yeah. So, just speaking of that, some scripture just popped up for me a couple times. I wrote it down because it doesn't pertain to this, but it kind of does, because this was one that when I was just starting on the faith walk, this one just pumped into my head so hard. And, you know, and it's part of the Lord's Prayer of forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Beautiful.
And I forgot. It's, you know, it's amazing how you read scripture. And, you know, I was completely into Ephesians for a while, especially 6, and like just drinking it all in. And then Proverbs 25, 21 to 22 pops up. And I just have to keep remembering this. If your enemies are hungry, give them food to eat. If they're thirsty, give them water to drink. You will heap burning coals of shame on their heads, and the Lord will reward you. And I keep reminding myself, like, because, you know, we got some trouble going on the street right now where we live. There's one family who moved in, and they're kind of disrupting the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And we had a meeting, you know, they had a meeting like a Java Ranch. You know, like, yeah, man, we're going to have a meeting. We got to have a meeting.
A fox in the hen house.
And I brought this up to them. I said, can I just remind, because they're all believers.
Yeah. Good folks.
Yeah. Can I just remind everybody of this? And, you know, and I prayed over the meeting, and I said, let me just remind you of this. And I think it made a difference because, man, there was some anger just, you know, hey, these people are disrupting the neighborhood. And like, well, let's just think about how we can approach this. I don't know if it'll stick that long, but it felt good to say it.
Yeah, you threw up a flag.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I did. I don't think they thought it. They didn't see it coming from me.
Yeah.
They're like, that's good. What's this podcasting guy doing here? What's the podcasting guy?
Well done, brother. Well played.
So I brought a couple clips.
Okay.
Just stuff that's been going on this week. And I think the main thing that probably has filled everyone's timeline is RFK Jr.
Wow.
And, you know, he was called to testify about, you know, why he's, you know, defunding mRNA and all this stuff. And amongst all of the noise, because, you know, what you're going to get, you're not going to see anything but the clips of fire and brimstone and anger and
Elizabeth Warren losing her mind,
just completely going nuts.
Right. Saw that.
I actually, let me see. I didn't have this one prepared, actually.
It's all right.
But there's, in this opening statement, he actually got to tell everybody what he's been doing. And I was thinking to myself, you know, this is something that no one will hear. They're not going to play any clips of this. It seems I don't have it after all. But it was quite amazing.
I know you and Devorah, and John.
We did just
talk a little bit about on No Agenda.
Yeah. And, you know, what he's done with food dyes and with baby formula and fluoride in the water and but really trying to make people healthy. And I look at these representatives who I think truly, you have to think that they really believe where they stand, and whether that's because a lobbyist has been showing them charts and stuff forever and ever and ever. But ultimately, the clip I brought is from the Florida Surgeon General.
Okay. Oh, good one.
I forget his name. And this is a clip from France 24. So, you know, it's a little bit of an overview about how crazy the Floridians are to say no more mandated vaccinations. But what he said was just, I thought it was fantastic.
Beautiful. For decades, public health guidance has been clear. Vaccines save lives and prevent the spread of disease. Now, Florida wants to break from the science and become the first U.S. state to get rid of all its vaccine mandates. This would also extend to children who are currently required to be immunized against certain infections such as measles, mumps, and polio before going to school. Florida's Republican Governor Ron DeSantis framed it as a protection of parental rights. The state Surgeon General said the government shouldn't infringe on bodily autonomy.
Your body is a gift from God. What you put into your body, is because of your relationship with your body and your God. I don't have that right. Government does not have that right.
I thought that was, and it was funny because on No Agenda, Dvorak brought the same clip, but he actually cut that part out. He said, I didn't think it added anything, just virtue signaling. I'm like, that's that.
Wow.
And it's fine. Why there's two of us on that show.
Right, exactly.
But it's like, that is the essence of where we have to stand.
Nailed it.
With all of this stuff.
He nailed it. That was a triple Lindy. I mean, he nailed the triple Lindy.
It was.
Just, that was so well said. And in such a short, succinct way, he caught the heart of what we're about. That which honors God. And, you know, the scripture talks about, you know, we are to do all things unto him. Mm. Everything for his glory, whether it's a podcast or whether the way I'm driving. I mean, that's meddling. That moves from preaching to meddling, right?
You got some work to do there, brother.
Literally, you know, I do. I'm growing. I'm learning. It's a process. Sanctification. But I love what he said there. You don't hear a lot of guys that are officials going that strong.
Right.
You hear a few, but to hear him, and it just, I'm pretty impressed with Florida, actually. We love going there. We go to Naples every year. It's become a tradition for us. And we love Destin. We love, you know, there's great beaches there. But we've learned to love the people there, you know, with Jack Hillegoss and mm-hmm. Steve Maxwell mm-hmm. and those great guys. And then you've got our friends over in Naples. So there's just something good happening there.
Yes.
And there's good things happening here.
Yes.
And I see Texas and Florida as almost twins. You know, we're kind of
getting there.
We're getting there. We're kind of seem to be on the same track.
The thing that's always kind of tough, though, particularly with vaccinations, mm-hmm. is, and this is the psyop that we just need to expose time and time again, is people say, I'm vaccinated. If you're not vaccinated, you're putting me in danger.
Yep.
And I just want to remind everybody of the fallacy of that statement, because that means this thing is not working.
Exactly.
The whole point is it's supposed to protect you. And, you know, if anything, we need, I think RFK Jr. and he's been waiting for this. I mean, he's been waiting for 20 years to do this. So he's not backing down. President Trump is backing him. And it's going to be very interesting to see how far he gets and how far he takes everything. But ultimately, there's going to have to be a real cultural conversation and a biblical conversation about specifically about vaccines. And I think, you know, as I told you before, I hope we do this. I'm here for this podcast for our church family here. If it goes beyond, that's fantastic.
Right.
But I'm sure a lot of people are struggling with this. You know, how do they approach it? How do they approach conversations with people about it, family members? We know that this very topic split families right down the middle during COVID and still reverberates.
Yeah, we've seen it a little bit before COVID. I mean, with homeschool kids and parents saying, you know what, I'm opting out of this.
Mm-hmm.
We have a right to parent our children the way we see fit. And then people scream their minds out because in their minds, they think that's a hit on everybody else. So when COVID happened, that amplified that mentality and that thinking. You're killing your grandmother.
Oh, that was it'd be an empty seat at the table.
Yeah, that was the psyop. Yeah. That was the emotional psyop mm-hmm. that all of us were hearing. And I remember, because I'm a pastor and I'm in a group of pastors, especially at that time, I was actually leading our ministerial alliance. And everybody was showing up with masks on. They were insisting on 6 feet. I mean, they were following the rules mm-hmm. that had been passed down. And I'm sitting there, me and about two other people are going, no,
no,
I don't agree.
No, no.
And I'm the leader, so I'm trying to be nice, but I'm also realizing the psyop on this. And I'm like, no, that really was my wake up call to a lot of things. So COVID was good for me in that sense mm-hmm. that it opened my eyes because I was so trusting. But this, going back to the vaccine thing, I am very thankful that this guy is saying what he's saying, but he's saying it from a biblical worldview, which is what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
To say there is a lens, there is a grid, there is something to see things through that changes the narrative that we're getting from the world.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the vaccines and all that, it's anti-vaxxers, you know, suddenly you're a villain if you get a label, right? Mm-hmm. You're an anti-vaxxer. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a bad thing because, again, you're killing grandma and everybody around you. But here's the thing. I go to the airport, and to this day, even when there's nothing going on, you still see people wearing masks.
Oh, welcome to Austin.
It blows my mind. Yeah. It's like, really? Have you not awakened? Are you not looking? Are you not listening? Are you not doing the research? And there's a lot of people that are still swallowing the blue pill.
And I don't know anything to do for them but pray for them.
It breaks my heart. I'm not mad at them. I'm not upset. I'm just sad. And sad for them.
And there's the danger is I hear so many people like, I'm never going to forgive them. I'm never going to forgive. What they did this, they did that. I'm never going to forgive my parents for not letting me come over.
Wow.
This is where we, this is where we really need faith and trust in the Lord, because the path we're on now with each other is not working out very well.
We hit on this last show. When you played that great clip of that young man saying, hey, if you're saying we're this, then we're just going to go ahead and be this.
Be that, yes.
Yeah, we're fostering. And that was a real wake up call. I got a lot of feedback on that.
Me
by
too.
The way.
Me too.
People saying, man, that was an eye opener for me. And it was for me right there on the show. I mean, I was like in real time going, oh, okay, I don't want to be a part of this problem. Yeah. You know, if I'm going to bark about something, I better have a solution ready. You know what I mean? Not just a bark. And that seems to be cultural right now. Everybody's barking, but nobody's bringing real world solutions to this. So this is where we come in as followers of Jesus to say, okay, there may be other alternatives than what's been presented. And maybe they could be led by the Holy Spirit, by God himself. Maybe the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. That doesn't mean we're using it. It just says we have,
we have it.
It's up to us to lean in, right? Yeah, exactly. To lean into that and to know that there may be other options. We always think there's either one or the other.
Binary.
There's always more. And that's the kind of the problem with limited thinking and the narratives that are out there right now. You either are for me or you hate me.
Right.
You're not just for me or nominal. You're just for me or you hate me. There's no nominal. Yeah. If you don't agree with me, you hate me.
Yeah.
If you don't agree with my lifestyle choices, you hate me. And that's off. That is a total psyop. Cultural side.
But we all fall prey to it.
We do. It's easy to fall in.
It's easy to say, oh, LGBTQ plus the transgenders are crazy.
It's too easy.
It's too easy. And I think we got to be careful.
And I think what you're saying is right. If it's that easy, that should be a flag to us that something's up.
Right.
Because I love what Victor Marx talks about. You know, I did a sermon a while back called Let's Do Difficult.
Yes.
And then Victor, his whole everything, every one of his are about let's do difficult. Yeah. But he lives that life, right? And I think there's a sense where if it's something's that easy, you need to be wary of it. If it's that easy, maybe that's not the right way to go. The path of least resistance.
We're not going to resolve this, are we?
No. We actually just bring up more questions.
I think so.
But that's okay.
It's part
of processing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I don't think we're here to bring answers.
Nope.
I think we're here to ask questions, hopefully that others are, or not just what others are asking, but maybe they need to be asking. So maybe
for themselves,
we can just help out by bringing more questions to the table. Yeah.
And by the way, thank you all for the really nice feedback and from disparate people who I'm like, oh, really? You listen? Oh, that's pretty cool. A reminder, go get the Godcaster app or go to the Bridge homepage. You can get the show there. And whenever you want to share it, use the share buttons because that really helps bring everybody back to Godcaster, to the Bridge homepage, keeps everybody within the same area. You don't get, you know, the whole concept is to keep people from being interrupted by algorithms and, oh, look at this. Absolutely. And, oh, look over here and look at this recommendation. That's why we built it.
Beautiful.
So I was listening to Hello Fred, and we have SRN News now, which is running. It kind of runs all over the place. Soon it'll run at the top of the hour, more or less. We're working on that. It's amazing any of this stuff works at all.
That's a miracle.
And I heard this report in this morning, this short, it's like 25 seconds in this morning's news briefing, and I hadn't actually planned on talking about it, but since it came up and I was like, oh, wow, this is exactly what you and I have been discussing for several weeks now. We even discussed it on Living Up in a Down World. But I brought some other additional stuff. Here it is.
The language used in the debate over artificial intelligence is increasingly taking on religious overtones. Jeffrey Hinton, the legendary programmer who helped develop AI, refers to its potential as godlike. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman has referred to his company's technology as a magic intelligence in the sky, while PayPal founder Peter Thiel has even argued AI could bring about the Antichrist.
Okay. So since
That's a lot right there.
Since this was a news report, I wanted to break this down with you for a second. So first of all, the guy that they referenced, the godfather of AI, I can kind of ignore him because I have studied this for months and months and months and months and months. There's no I in artificial intelligence. There is no intelligence in there.
Right.
It's
obvious.
It's a parlor trick. Because it's speaking to you and it sounds human. You're just taking this in. And we've been programmed to do this. I know we covered this before on Living Up in a Down World. We've been programmed to expect computers to talk to us from Lost in Space, Danger Will Robinson, Knight Rider, Kit, Bring the Car Around. Even Batman spoke to his car at a certain point.
Hal.
Remember Hal? Open the pod bay door.
That's it.
All of this stuff. And, you know, we've been right up to the movie Her, which was just a few years ago. So we've been programmed to accept this, but it's truly a very fast copy paste search engine machine. There is nothing intelligent in it, but people are so easy to fall into it. Now, I have some real Christian talk about this, but since they brought up Peter Thiel, who he used to be, he was one of the PayPal founders with Elon Musk. They actually fell out. Musk kind of got kicked out of PayPal.
Shocker,
right? And Peter Thiel is an interesting character, but he's seen as this incredible boogeyman because of his company Palantir. And I'm just debunking this on the fly because we don't have to be worried about this. You don't have to be worried about Palantir targeting you. I mean, there's nothing that Palantir can do that's any better than what Oracle hasn't been doing for the past 20 years with all of your credit information. There's nothing really special in it. But the guy is a whack job.
Mm.
Listen to this.
You would prefer the human.
I'm sorry. This is, he was being interviewed by the guy from the New York Times. I think we actually played, I played this for you at the house.
Okay.
So you'll remember this.
You would prefer the human race to endure, right? You're hesitating.
Yeah, well,
yes?
I don't know. I would.
By the way, I had to cut out a million pauses because it's one of these difficult talkers. You're like,
because he's thinking on the fly. Oh, big yeah. Time.
I would.
This is a long hesitation. This is a long hesitation.
There's so many questions implicit in this.
Should the human race survive?
Yes.
Okay.
But I also would like us to radically solve these problems.
Right.
And so, you know, it's always, I don't know, transhumanism.
This is important.
Here we go.
Because this, if you look at all the people who are funding transgenderism, they all are into transhumanism. And if there's an enemy, I want everyone to know what the enemy looks like and how the enemy talks. And I'm not saying Peter Thiel's a bad guy, but I'm pretty sure he's got some influence coming from spiritual realms that he may not be aware of.
Is this... You know, the ideal was this radical transformation where your human natural body gets transformed into an immortal body. And there's a critique of, let's say, the trans people in a sexual context, or I don't know, a transvestite is someone who changes their clothes and cross dresses. And a transsexual is someone where you change your penis into a vagina. And we can then debate how well those surgeries work. But we want more transformation than that. The critique is not that it's weird and unnatural. It's so pathetically little. And we want more than cross dressing or changing your sex organs. We want you to be able to change your heart and change your mind and change your whole body. And then Orthodox Christianity, by the way, the critique Orthodox Christianity has of this is these things don't go far enough, like that transhumanism is just changing your body, but you also need to transform your soul and you need to transform your whole self.
You see why I bring this clip?
He made a leap.
Yeah, he made quite the leap.
He made the leap.
Yeah.
He jumped the gap. Mind the gap, right? Remember that in Britain? Mind the gap. So he jumped the gap, and that jump was a major light years jump where he talked about moving from changing the body to changing the heart, and that's a Christian thing, but he missed a lot of stuff in between. I'm reading about transhumanism, philosophical scientific movement that advocates for the use of current and emerging technologies such as genetic engineering, artificial intelligence, nanotechnology, in cryonics to enhance and augment human capabilities. It's the bionic man and the bionic woman, which we watched in the 70s.
And it's really, I believe that these people like Thiel and probably Musk and others, they actually are afraid of dying.
Yes.
They want themselves to live forever. They are very afraid of dying.
You just nailed something right there because I'm not afraid of dying because I know where I will be.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do I know it philosophically, I know it theologically. I know it because of the Word of God in the Bible, but I also know it because I have friends experientially who've stepped over and looked beyond the veil,
right,
so to speak.
Yep.
They've seen the other side, Steve Maxwell being one.
Mm-hmm.
I've had several. and there's nothing to fear. So for me to want my body to somehow continue to exist, I already know it's going to, just not in this form. So talk about transhumanism.
Well,
if you want to go
I'm sorry, finish your sentence.
No, I'm just saying it. I mean, that's the essence of transhumanism, isn't like getting a bionic arm,
yeah,
you know, nanotechnology and all cryogenics, all that. It's literally transforming, changing your form into what the Bible calls a heavenly body.
And ultimately, isn't everything marketing, public relations, psyops? They all have death as the ultimate. Well, if you don't do this, if you don't go here on vacation, you know. wouldn't you rather have a living daughter than a dead son? This is the big psyop that they've put onto parents,
right?
And Thiel actually makes more of this jump in this second clip.
I generally agree with your belief that religion should be a friend to science and ideas of scientific progress. I think any idea of divine providence has to encompass the fact that we have progressed.
Okay, let's just stop there. How do you feel about that?
Friend, but not slave to, not subservient to. Mm. There's a distinction there that I see. I see that with government. I mentioned about meeting with the mayor and saying you have civil government on your shoulders.
Right.
I have spiritual government. So it makes us partners. It makes us allies, not adversaries. And he got that. Mm-hmm. I would say the same thing here with science. I don't see this as I think science proves God. It proves the existence of things beyond our comprehension, things that are, we would say, infinite as opposed to finite.
Right.
And so when I hear him saying that, I'm like, well, kind of, I hear what you're saying, but we're not subservient to it. That's the interesting. So Dr. Jack Taylor, years ago, brilliant man, wrote a book talking about heaven. And he was talking about what is real reality. And he was talking about the spiritual realm is the real reality.
Wow.
That what we're here in right now is a bad copy. It's like a fax of a fax of a fax.
Wow.
Remember back when we did fax and you'd fax something over and over and it starts to lose its
resolution.
Yeah, it loses its resolution. Mm-hmm. Great. Perfect word. Where it becomes fuzzy. You can't even read it anymore. And when I was in the childcare world, you know, as a case manager, we were faxing stuff back and forth to Child Protective Services, the state.
And it'd be crooked.
Oh, my gosh.
And it'd be blurry.
By the fourth time, you couldn't even make anything.
By the fourth time, it looks like something from the JFK files from the 60s.
Yeah. It's and blurry.
CIA documents.
Like, we'll put that in the files. But same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. I see that in what he's saying. So we're getting a copy of a copy of a copy. It's going to lose resolution. And fidelity.
I'm going to put a pin in that. I'm going to come back to that. Just so we finish this clip.
And achieved and done things that would have been unimaginable to our ancestors. But it still also seems like, the promise of Christianity in the end is you get the perfected body and the perfected soul through God's grace. And the person who tries to do it on their own with a bunch of machines is likely to end up as a dystopian character.
Well,
you want to comment on that?
Tracking with him at this
New York
point.
Times. I know. Going, I was like, okay he's there.
I'm in the lane with you there.
Yeah. Let's articulate this.
And you can have a heretical form of Christianity, that says something else.
I don't know. I think the word nature does not occur once in the Old Testament.
Oops. Maybe not literally.
Where's he going with that? Because I don't know where he can.
Well, let's see. It's 40 seconds.
And okay. So, there is a word in which, a sense in which the way I understand, the Judeo-Christian inspiration is about transcending nature. It is about overcoming things. And, and the closest thing you can say to nature is that people are fallen, and that's the natural thing in a Christian sense is that you're messed up, and that's true. But there's some ways that you know, with God's help, you are supposed to transcend that and overcome that.
So I think he's justifying using transhumanist technology to overcome being fallen.
That's what it sounded like.
Yeah.
And as opposed to the way we overcome being fallen is to return to Eden through a relationship with Jesus Christ, which gets us to the Father. So he's bypassing that. Whether he's intentionally doing it or not, he sounds like he kind of knows a little bit about it, but he doesn't know about it. You know what I mean? He kind of knows, but he doesn't know. And he's trying to say there may be other paths, other ways to reach, I don't know, well, transhumanism, to use their word.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So back to the loss of resolution, a copy of a copy of a copy. This is important to understand. Artificial intelligence, we'll just call it AI just because that's what everyone thinks it is.
Right.
It is literally scraping up everything available through the internet. It has no knowledge of air, water, touch.
I have proof of this, by the way. I think I mentioned this. I know I've told you. I don't know if I said it on the air last time we were together, but I was doing research for a sermon, and I was looking because it's a great search tool. It's a great Bible search tool. I go, you know, give me a Bible verse. This Bible verse is about such and such, and it's great for that kind of stuff. That's what I use it for.
Yeah.
And I threw a concept in there, and it pulled up, and now Perplexity gives you the references, so you actually see where they're pulling from.
Mm-hmm.
The number one reference was from a sermon I'd preached.
So I was like, that's great.
Oh, well, okay, we're back to me.
So that's exactly what it does. It scrapes. Yeah. Now, it has deals, and so they put that into what they call a large language model, which is really just a super big database that is highly optimized. So it doesn't take forever to retrieve the information, and it's really just retrieving information based upon keywords. So whatever your search was, it had certain keywords, and it went, I have that, and it happens to pull that from you. What's interesting, if someone else pulled that up and rewrote that sermon and put it back out on the internet, the AI scraping mechanism would pull that in and would now start to use that as a copy of your original.
Sounds like the Hegelian dialectic. So Hegel came out with, you have a thesis.
Yep.
You have an antithesis.
Mm-hmm.
And then they form a new thesis.
Yes.
So that's what this is doing.
Part of it. The bad part is it...
I'm not saying it's all good.
Yeah, no, it does. I don't know if it necessarily creates a thesis antithesis. It just says, here's new information. And then the next time someone uses that and publishes that on the internet or uses a version of it, puts it in their own words, and already if you say to AI, write me a sermon on this, it'll write something that's already a lower resolution of the original.
I would say an aberration or an amalgam.
And so
this pulling in new things. So it sounds fresh.
But it's not. It's not. A copy of a copy, and it creates another copy. And you see it with artwork already. All the artwork from certain AI generators starts to look the same. It looks orangish.
Cartoonish
is all because that's the third, I think it's the third law of thermodynamics is entropy. If you leave the car alone on the lawn, it's going to rot away.
Yeah.
So if you don't give it something fresh, a fresh coat of paint, and so if you continue to take the old pieces that are republished and bring them back in, there's nothing left for the machine to do but just create bad copies of stuff that already exists.
Worse and worse and worse.
And so they're desperately trying to solve this. By A, not talking about it. That's the number one.
That's not a problem.
But it becomes a real problem when it comes to truth. Because just changing a word, and I'm pretty sure you could tell me the scripture that God said, you may not change any of my scriptures. You
that would be the very end of Revelation, the book of very end of the Bible.
That's where it is. By the way, don't change a word. So also in the Godcaster, I found this program called Haven Today, Christian teach and talk program. Very interesting. I started following it. I'm listening. You're looking it up, aren't you? Looking up Revelation for me. He's looking it up in the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. He's got his Bible already. It's all earmarked. Lots of, and you go right to it. That's amazing.
Trying to. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. I mean, this is serious.
Got it.
That's
pretty clear. Pretty clear. So Haven today often talks about technology from a biblical worldview and has guests on. And he had this two people on who are, I think, actually on the advisory committee of some biblical Christian. I should have written it down. I'll put it in the show notes. Some biblical Christian society of technology. Mm-hmm. And they, unsurprisingly, they're pro AI. And the host is not really making a judgment one way or the other. But the first guy, he's kind of a sales guy for AI. And the second one, she's a PhD. And we just got to talk about this because when I heard this, I'm like, I got to talk to Jimmy about this. Okay, here we go.
And I found all this discussion incredibly helpful. But then we turned a corner and I was fascinated as we talked about what it looks like to be proactive from the standpoint of the church. And whether that's the context of the local church or international missions or some other expression of what the body of Christ is doing in our world, the question is, what impact might AI have here? And the next clip is a longer one with comments from myself, Dr. K, and Daniel Whitenack, who kicks off this section.
I personally think that the creative aspects of these models, including the music side and the other portions of that, could be used in amazing ways by the church. But I think we don't want to disconnect that from the understanding of how what is generated is connected to what the model has been fed on. And that kind of motivates then those that are working in technology and working in AI that are also followers of Jesus to put together potentially models that are fed by truth and aligned to truth. You know, companies like Glue and others are doing really amazing work in this area to align models to human flourishing and feed them with truth, not just with kind of what's scraped off the internet.
So I like what he says. And actually, I've taken a sales call from Glue, and it was just an AI guy selling to the church. Right. I mean, I'm not saying he wasn't a believer, but he was.
They're a big deal in many churches right now.
They were the platinum big sponsor at NRB. So I was kind of like, you're just selling AI here. I'm not so sure you can really put they can't even put guardrails around this stuff for it not to tell people like, yeah, it's a good idea to drink, bromide or anything. You know, it's. So I hear what he's saying, but we know that these large language models, they're never going to spit back. It's going to be a copy, and it's never going to be verbatim truth.
Right.
And so I was listening to this, I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, he made the comment how what you feed into it.
Yes, but you have to remember that it takes new input from the old output. So it would be the same as copying your Bible over and over and over and over again. At a certain point, you won't know what that word is.
Right.
And it may be a very critical word.
Remember the old telegram game?
Yes. You start at the beginning. You tell it.
By the third person, it's off.
It's already different.
It's off the rails.
Exactly.
And that sounds simplistic, but really we have that happening. You found that out when you were doing some coding.
Oh,
it would start down a wrong path,
yes.
And you couldn't bring it back. You couldn't correct it.
Great analogy, because I am not really a programmer. So let's say I'm not really a Christian yet. And so not being a programmer, I mean, the great thing about software is if you do it wrong, it just doesn't work. But I didn't know how to tell it that it was wrong. And I had to start over. It took me 3 months to do something a programmer could have done in 3 days. And it was very frustrating, and I needed to get to the end of it. But just imagine that happening now with scripture or
exactly.
with biblical teaching. So I'm concerned about that.
So I use Perplexity a lot. I'll get historical context, but because I've gone to school, I've got a master's degree in this.
Yes,
I've got a baseline.
I'd say,
and for the kinds of questions, it depends on what you're asking it to do.
Yeah,
and for me, I've been able to make it work for me. Also know where it's pulling from. So I'm checking that as well.
Yeah.
But I can see how you could literally get off the rails on this, and it could take you down a track And it doesn't know right from wrong. It doesn't know truth from falsehood. It's pulling from so many sources.
Yeah.
At lightning speed. And anything could come into that. And that's where I'm concerned about when Christians are just running thinking this is the greatest thing ever. And it doesn't take much to get off the rails. Just read the New Testament. Every letter in the Bible was corrective in nature of heresy. Every one of them.
You got to explain that to me.
Well, Book of Galatians, for example, the Judaizers, they were trying to mix Christianity but pull in the Old Testament Judaism. Ah. And they were blending it.
Right.
Where, yes, you now have to be circumcised, young Timothy.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What?
You're 25, but yeah, whip it out. I mean, here it was. It was that whole scary stuff. I mean, he did it. I mean,
yeah.
But they were demanding that you had to follow old covenant 613 laws.
Right.
And yet you were free in Christ. And that's why Paul said in Galatians 5, it was for freedom that Christ sets you free. Don't return back to slavery under the old law. Now, we think that means I'm just free in Jesus to do anything I want. No, that's not what Paul was talking about. He was talking about the Judaizers, and he was correcting them to say you cannot subjugate people who are free in Christ under the old covenant. This is a new covenant. We quote that out of context a lot. It's all over the place. But if you don't know that stuff,
yeah, you can get off the rails.
You're jumping off on, you know, AI, and here you go.
So
you know?
Here's this lady's a PhD. Mm. She's anonymous. She calls herself Dr. K. So she's anonymous with her comments here. For I can't remember the reason, but she gets too much hate mail or whatever. Listen to her.
These models are trained on our data. They are going to have and see footprints of our fallenness, but also our creativity and also some of our really amazing aspects. And what is just to me so fascinating about these large language models or LLMs is they are able to see within the training data certain patterns and trends that we might, because in that sense, you know, they can see so much more than we can see just in one setting that is really powerful and really, really reflects some of the best of our creativity as well. And I think that we need to think about that and not see it. And Daniel said it earlier, this all falls within God's economy. He's not surprised by this at all. In fact, he's saying, you know, hey, this next digital landscape, let's share my truth in it, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's the great news about this. And so, I totally agree with Daniel on that.
Yeah.
See, this is where I'm like, no. I mean, it's a tough one because
I see where she's going.
It's what Peter Thiel is saying, too, in a way.
Where they're going. But we're bypassing what we already know to be true is that we have the mind of Christ. The scripture is very clear about that. We have the person of the Holy Spirit, the one who created this whole ball of wax on the inside of us. So why do I need to depend on a digital friend? And she talks about what we put into it. Well, that depends. How many flavors are there of Christianity?
Exactly.
So what flavor are you putting in there? Are you putting in a very liberal flavor that's all good with transgender and all good with homosexual pastors? Are you, what flavor are you putting? So it's like buying a translation of the Bible. There's hundreds of these.
You know, I was talking to Pastor Darren Tyler from Conduit in Franklin, Tennessee.
Yeah, solid.
And he was talking about other churches. He said, the way I see it is, you know, so there's I think they're non-denominational.
They are.
There's a Baptist church here. There's, you know, all these different flavors. He said, and God is using those pastors and those churches to get his word to them in the way they need to hear it, which I thought was kind of a good way.
That's a good assessment.
But when you put everything into a large language model and doesn't say King James Version, you don't know what you're getting. And you mix those two up, and that could be kind of weird.
So what I do when I actually use AI for anything, I'll say, what's a good title for an American evangelical non-denominational church? So it depends on the prompts
that you put
in. And if you don't know what you're prompting and you don't know what you're looking for, it will give you something. And it may sound good.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. This reminds me of, 15, 20 years ago, when a lot of New Age people were coming out and saying, hey, I saw angels and this angel spoke to me, so I wrote a book about it. And Christians were picking this book up and going, this is amazing. Turned out it was completely heretical and they were not, it was not biblically based at all.
Right.
But because it tickled something in them, they enjoyed it. And they actually, it's almost like they took it as a template and put it over their Christian faith and added it to, mm-hmm. but it wasn't biblical at all. So this is where I come back to being conservative. I come back to saying, let's bring out the book.
Bring out the book.
And we better put it through this lens. And if it doesn't fit, I don't care how cool it is or how, you know, whiz bang it is and all the bells and whistles it is. If it's not in alignment, we have to walk away.
And this is, I think what's happening here, because of Godcaster, I'm talking to a lot of churches, pastors, radio stations, and in general, the church as a generalization feels they came to the internet late and they weren't using it as early and as soon as they could have or would have or would. They probably said the internet's the devil. I'm sure we had a lot of that going on.
Of course.
And so now there's this feeling of we're not going to be last on this.
Hashtag FOMO.
It's exactly what it is.
Fear of missing out.
And this final clip kind of, this is the real danger, I think.
And just to push it maybe a little bit further, David, there are people on the face of the earth that have interacted with a chatbot, not a human, have interacted around topics related to Christianity, have read scripture in that chatbot, have decided to make a decision to follow Jesus, and have gone from that chatbot experience, gotten plugged into a church, and are participating in a church community as a believer. And so whether you want to say, well, did the chatbot, you know, witness and is evangelism and that sort of thing, there's things to wrestle with there. But sure. I think the point is, you know, I personally speaking, probably decided to follow Jesus because I was terrified of hell, not necessarily because I had a great, well-aligned love of the Trinity and all the right motivations, right? Mm-hmm. But thankfully, God meets us where we're at, and he can use a variety of means, and he doesn't expect us to have the right motivations.
Sure, that's right. And that's a really good point. I'm glad you phrased it that way. And if we rewound the clock several hundred years, we might have said, you know, did the printing press lead someone to Christ? And you know, the word of God, you know, is used by the Spirit of God.
I don't know, man. It doesn't feel good to me.
It feels like we're trying to work this into the bigger framework.
To justify it.
And what we call the sovereignty of God. Mm-hmm. Sovereignty of God, this being that God's going to get it done one way or the other. And now that this has come along, it appears to be a new technology. It's really not. But it appears to be new, right? Yeah. And there's always going to be a broad spectrum of acceptance and non-acceptance, and it's going to land different. Whether you're listening to that podcast or this news piece or this article, anything that comes up, you're going to get a wide spectrum of consent, dissent. I mean, you're going to see it all. And they're on the ascent side of going, hey, this could be a good thing. This chat box could have led somebody to Jesus. Hey, you know, a donkey spoke up to Balaam, you know, in the Old Testament. I mean, God's like, point. I got to get this done.
Three times.
All I have is a donkey and Balaam's not listening. So I'm going to get it. So we know God can use anything, yes, right? I mean, really, in the sovereignty of God. But I think everybody, you nailed it. The FOMO thing. I mean, we're fear of missing out. So we become early adopters and sometimes we rush in. Before we let something sit. I mean, I've gotten to where, and I think you've taught me this, is don't just update your phone because it's telling you to. Man, I learned that the hard way on the Roadcaster. It's
like, whoops.
Whoa.
Wait a little bit.
Don't update right before you're going to do a podcast. All of a sudden, nothing works. You know?
Wait a little bit until
I'm learning to rest.
Shaking out. Yeah.
I'm learning to be slower in these things. Mm-hmm. Again, don't get in a hurry, right? We talked about that song from Will Reagan. But I hear what they're doing. They're trying. I hear the justification, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yes.
I hear that they're trying to do a cyclical reasoning where they're trying to come back to, it's okay because, here's what I know about the devil. He always overshoots, always overplays. He will give up a little ground to take a lot more.
Right.
So if he can get a few, a few people gave their life to Jesus because, but look at the bigger thing. He's smart that way. He's strategic. And he's a schemer.
And can't he also use this technology?
Exactly. Well, yeah, that goes for just about anything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because rock music, rock worship. It's
true. Yeah. When I just look at, because I study this over and over again, mm-hmm. I don't see a lot of, wow, I found Jesus because of the chatbot. I see a lot of, oh, I'm actually supernatural, the chatbot says. There's some stories.
I'm okay now.
Yeah. Everyone's looking for meaning, and the chatbot feels like, how can the fruit of the spirit come from that, from a copy machine? Go talk to the Xerox machine. It's the same thing. It's the same thing.
Don't we all, isn't it human nature to want to believe there's something beyond us?
Joe Rogan.
It can be digital. Joe's like a lot of different things, but it could be anything. And so we get this thing that's at our fingertips and easily acceptable. And for the most part, free. Nothing's really free, but
exactly.
But it feels free in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, until they create that, you know, that need. And then it suddenly costs something to get what you were getting for free. But right, we know how that works. But because we want to believe that there's the golden key just beyond. It's like the carrot that's just out in front. And that's what the enemy uses to take us along. The answer that you've been looking for. And we really don't even know the question. Isn't it true?
Yes.
But we all feel like, I think there's this inert thing where we think there's something just beyond. So it keeps us constantly striving for something else. And AI comes along and it seems to have, makes these promises. But who are you listening to that are making the promises? The guys from the WEF or the guys from...
You don't know.
I mean, it's some wild stuff out there.
And it feels like it's a shortcut. Like, well,
that's what it feels like to
me. You know, whereas I remember when Tina was coming to church and I was watching online and I was coming to Jesus. I was coming along, but it wasn't until I said, brother, I'll see you tomorrow morning at church.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's when it started. You need the human interaction. You need to be in the ecclesia. You need to be a part of the group.
Yeah, you need the good, but you also need the hard.
Yes.
Doing difficult creates something.
There it is.
Soft things create soft men. I mean, soft times create soft men, but hard times create strong men. And so there's this ebb and flow and this dynamic that happens when you're having to work for something. I remember my dad, I wanted white lettered tires for my 69 Chevelle Super Sport. He had the striped tires, you know, white walls. I'm like, Dad, you don't have white walls.
Oh, come on.
On a muscle car. But it came with that. So he was like, you know, I mean, I'm a freshman in high school. And he's like, you don't have enough money to buy those tires. I waited and I waited and I waited. And when I finally got those tires out, Firestones, I'll never forget.
Yeah.
He came driving my car down the road because he had the tires put on. And I saw him. I was like, all that weight, all that scraping together allowance and little bit of what I was able to make at the gas local Texaco and in Post Texas, you know, pouring my little bit into it. The satisfaction I had when I finally gained what I had worked for, it made it all the more amazing.
This is before there were credit cards, before there was
instant gratification.
Yep. And this is what
if I can sit behind a keyboard and answer all the deep philosophical and theological questions of life through a chat bot, through AI. Oh my God. How easy is that?
Wouldn't it be great?
I don't have to work for anything.
Wouldn't it be fantastic?
I'm just going to ask a question and get an answer for everything.
Got to read all those hard words. Got to look at all that individual language. Like, what does it actually mean there?
This comes back to let's do difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Every time Annette gets me up to go walk at 7 o'clock in the morning, a power walk, I'm thinking,
let's do difficult.
I got to do difficult. I have to. This is going to be good for me. And you know what? I actually had to admit to Annette recently, like yesterday, okay, this is working. I feel much better.
Yeah.
I've got better stamina. Even preaching, I feel good on Sunday afternoons, where before I was like, I need a nap.
Do you walk on Sunday mornings as well? Or no?
No.
I just, because you got to get up soon.
We were off on Saturday, Sunday, but we walk during the week. Mm-hmm. But I'm realizing it's why? Because it's hard.
Yeah.
Because it takes effort and discipline and a choice and putting other things aside because this is important.
Well, I hope people got something out of this.
Me too. It's too difficult.
I love talking with you about this stuff, which is kind of the reason we're doing the podcast.
I agree.
So we can really get down to the bottom of these things. You're traveling? You're going?
I'll be in Dallas next week. McKinney, actually, up in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. I'm speaking at a PAC. And I don't even know how the guy found out who I was, but he invited me to come out and, from a pastor and Christian perspective, explain why should a Christian be involved in politics?
Ooh, that's an easy answer.
Yeah. But that's a loaded one.
Now, are you on a panel or are you doing
that? I'm on a panel Steve Maxwell. I don't know the other guys, but Steve Maxwell, somehow, Steve shows up everywhere. Him and Rick Green.
you can pop up
on the other end of the world and you run into him in an airport.
Guys, how you doing? How's it
going? I didn't know we were speaking
I'm
together.
On my way.
Yeah. That's Steve. So Steve's going to be there as well. I'm looking forward to seeing him. But, you know, I'm excited about it because I love being able to speak outside the four walls of the church. Yes. I love what I do as a pastor. It's the joy
it shows, brother.
Of my
it
life.
Shows.
I get
it
to
does.
Do this.
You do get to do this for sure.
But when I get to do it outside the walls in different contexts, whether it's the carnivore health world, mm-hmm. which I love doing that, or it's speaking into culture outside of the pulpit, I love doing that. I'm just so thankful I get to do it. I get to do it.
I'm thankful I get to do this with you, brother. As a podcaster, this is a dream.
This is fun. And by the way, happy birthday from last week.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And
leveled up, brother.
Yes, you can't bring up the hoodie because Tina said, that's show content for Curry and the Keeper. You can't be talking about that.
Mum's the word. I see it, but I'm not saying a word about it.
Can't say anything.
One of your 30 hoodies.
It's now 28 because I had to give some up, but I'm not supposed to talk about that.
Hey, as we land in the plane, can I give a scripture, man?
Please.
I think I shared this last week, but it's right in front of me, and it's just so apropos to what we're talking about. And again, looking at the wisdom of scripture that supersedes AI and all these things, just in the simplicity of it. Listen to this. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. That's Luke 8:17.
Season of reveal, man. Season of reveal.
You nailed it. I don't know where you got that. The Holy Spirit. That was a download on one of your walks with Phoebe.
It was.
But that has stuck with me. And every time I see something right now, of course, now we're watching culture through these grids, right? These lens.
Yep.
And I think season of reveal. By the way, I'm really enjoying Daniel Cohen. That's something I mentioned.
Yeah.
I think folks should check that out. Daniel Cohen Show. It's on the Real Life Network. You can get that as an app. You can get it on YouTube. Mm-hmm. But check out the Daniel Cohen Show. He is doing some really neat things on Israel, coming from someone who's an American, but is also Jewish heritage. So he's messianic. So he's, I guess you'd say, straddling the barbed wire fence, he's on both sides. And yet he brings a real good perspective to what's going on with Hamas and Gaza and all the things that are happening there. I would highly recommend that.
Excellent.
Check it out.
All right, brother. Thank you so much as always, and have safe travels.
Thank you, brother.
And travel favor.
Hey, pray for us. It's going to be a fun trip.
Exactly. We get to do this.
Woo!
We'll see you next time, everybody.